Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from the thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. We give thanks for the reading of God's word this morning. Well, during Advent and Christmas, we're exploring the good news of Christ's birth in the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel. And it seemed like a good idea to me because 2018 has been without, as Perry has highlighted this morning, without too much good news, at least good news that's reported by the media anyway. And as we prepare for a Parliament vote on Brexit on Tuesday, as we've said, it's not likely to get much brighter. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But as we turn our eyes to the birth of Jesus Christ this month, remind ourselves again about what Christmas is really all about, we realize there is so much reason to give thanks and to rejoice. We've read in this opening chapter of Luke about Mary's visit to Judea, to the home of Zechariah, where she greeted her cousin Elizabeth. And we read about this extraordinary reaction from John in his mother's womb. In verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, I don't know about you, but when I enter a room, it has not often brought leaping in those I greet. Alas, shame. The very best reaction that I have probably received is when returning home from work, and particularly my youngest daughter comes trotting down the hallway and wraps herself around my legs and normally spreads whatever she's holding down my trousers as well. The worst reaction, probably being spat at by a stranger on the streets of Leicester while wearing a dog collar and a clerical shirt on my way to the burial, you might have seen it, of Richard III. I obviously stood for something he didn't like very much, and I was on the receiving end of that. What was the extraordinary reaction of John in the womb all about? Was it the tone of Mary's voice? Was it purely science, you know, the natural order of pregnancy taking place? Or did Elizabeth have indigestion? I don't think so. I think John leaped in response to the presence of Jesus. And Luke presents us here with three matters of good news. The first is that Jesus is the giver of joy. The leap told in verse 41 is further explained in verse 44. We read, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears," said Elizabeth, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And this joy shouldn't surprise us because we believe in a God of joyfulness, don't we? Nehemiah instructed the people in chapter 8, verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Jesus, having sent out the 72 in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. He was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, full of joy. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus speaks about the joy that not only God holds, but that heaven shares when one sinner repents. There is joy in heaven. Fantastic. Paul also speaks about our joy coming from God. In Romans 15, verse 13, he writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." And then we read in Scripture about joyfulness being our future. Jesus says to his disciples in John 16, verse 22, "Now is your time of grief." He says this just as he announces the fact that he will be leaving them. He will ascend, he will leave them. "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." It's our future. No one will take our joy away. Paul in Romans 14, verse 17, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking," although I think that probably will take place, and I'm sure it'll be nice, "but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Fantastic. And Peter in 1 Peter 1, verses 8 to 9 says, "Though you have not seen him," that's Jesus, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." In other words, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we will meet him, we will see him, and we will be filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy, thanks to the salvation that we found in Jesus. Amen to that. And we receive this joy with faith in Jesus. Joy is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. I can tell you this morning that music brings me great pleasure and happiness. Most music, actually, although I'm not a big fan of country. I particularly like Motown, gospel and soul music, classical music, particularly Debussy and Ravel. Films bring me joy, such as The Avengers, Star Wars, and Superman. I'm a bit of a fan of Superman. Food brings me joy, particularly double-deckers, and I appreciate and thank everybody who's bought me double-deckers since I announced it in church one Sunday. There was one time I had a ridiculous amount of double-deckers. Don't stop. I also like pastries, and that brings me a lot of joy, and sweets brings me joy too. My wife brings me joy most of the time. Don't tell her I said that. And my children bring me joy as well. But none of these people, none of these things will bring me lasting joy, everlasting joy, eternal joy. Only Jesus will do that. And in a world where so many things fight for our attention, we must find our eternal, lasting joy in Jesus Christ. You know, the temptation this Christmas is to find joy in gifts, buying, receiving, and eating turkey and other such things. But I hate to tell you this, January is coming. The bills will need to be paid. And January is often known as a time, actually, in the year, isn't it, where there is very little joy, actually. And perhaps this is a reminder during Advent and Christmas to remember that our lasting joy, this Advent, this Christmas, does not come from presents and turkey, but comes by celebrating Jesus, knowing Jesus, following Jesus, and making Christmas about him. Jesus said himself in John 15, verses 9 to 11, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So may our joy be complete this Christmas and forevermore as we place our trust in Jesus. We also discover the good news in Luke's gospel that Jesus is the giver of the Holy Spirit. And as we read verse 41, we discover that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only, as I've already said, because of Mary's greeting, but because she finds herself in the presence of Jesus. My former principal and writer, Nigel Wright, says, Jesus is both receiver and giver of the Holy Spirit. And we know this to be true, don't we? Because Scripture says so, the Bible tells us so. We read about the baptism of Jesus, when he rose from the baptismal waters and received the Holy Spirit like a dove out of heaven. Nigel Wright says, the Spirit descends and rests on the Christ in order that he might become the very one through whom the Spirit is then mediated in power to others. And again, we know this to be true because the Bible tells us so. John prepared for the ministry of Jesus, saying in Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, following his resurrection, Jesus came and he stood among the disciples and he breathed on them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's explanation for what took place in Jerusalem when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, his explanation was Jesus. We read, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father, he being Jesus, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to his disciples, to his people. So why does Jesus give the Holy Spirit? Well, we read all about it in John 14 and 16. The Holy Spirit is given so that we, his disciples, have an advocate to help us, a comforter, a counselor, one who will be with us forever. He is called the Spirit of Truth. He teaches us all things. He reminds us what Jesus said. He gives us peace. He guides us into all truth. And interestingly, importantly, he glorifies Jesus. Described by J.I. Packer as the floodlight ministry of the Spirit. But in addition to all these things, Acts 1 tells us that the Holy Spirit is also given for our witnessing to Christ Jesus and to the ends of the earth. And this isn't just for one disciple, but for all disciples. Given the gift of the Holy Spirit so to testify, so to witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't be clear when I first knew, understood, or experienced the Holy Spirit myself. But my baptism was a pretty clear moment when those three things came together. It's not a surprise, really, because in that moment of being baptized, I declared my faith in Jesus. I committed my life for him, to live my life for him. And he baptized me, not just with water, but baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And I knew it, tangibly knew it. And this gift has been so crucial in my witnessing to Christ ever since, as has my desire to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is good news. This is good news that Jesus would want to give us this gift. In Christ, we not only find lasting joy, but are given the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And so have you proclaimed Jesus as Lord? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know his advocacy, truth, his guiding and empowerment for witnessing? Perhaps this is the day when you need to consider those things and even consider being baptized. Love to be able to talk with you about baptism if that's something you feel that God is leading you towards. The third and final piece of good news in this passage comes from the Song of Mary. As in this song, Mary proclaims that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament promise. Now, I was talking to someone this week about Luke chapter 4. We read it earlier. A powerful moment when Jesus read this prophecy from the scroll of Isaiah. And there's this lovely word. Jesus kind of hands the scroll back to the attendant. He sits down. Eyes of people are fastened on him, we read in Luke 4. And he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh. I read that and I get quite excited, and it's a moment when I would love to have been there. I'd love to have been in that synagogue to hear Jesus reading from the scroll, to hear Jesus say those words, but also to see how others were reacting to him. And this is another one of those moments, a moment I would have loved to have witnessed and experienced for myself as Mary shared this song, or Magnificat, as some might know it, in Latin and choral tradition. And Mary rejoices in the gift of this baby Jesus. And she does so echoing the words of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. And she's rejoicing in this song because this baby Jesus is not some ordinary baby like my own. He is the promised Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the one through whom God promised to send and remember his promises to Abraham and his descendants. In Christ Jesus, Mary proclaims that mercy will extend to those who fear God. Renewal will come that is social and political, bringing down rulers from their thrones, lifting up the humble, filling the hungry, scattering the proud and the rich. This is good news of God's eternal kingdom. The King of the kingdom is coming. And Mary is rejoicing because this King has been entrusted to her. Christmas is not about how many gifts you buy. The gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, that's not the focal point of the nativity story. No, it's about Jesus, the King of this coming kingdom, the one promised and foretold, the one who is renewing his creation and will build his kingdom. Revelation 21 speaks about a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as the old order of things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Praise God. We could do with some new things, couldn't we? As we see so many broken lives in our world, as we see the effects of climate change, we could do with some new things. And this Jesus comes to bring this new thing, comes to bring this glorious kingdom. He says all who believe and trust in him will inherit for themselves. One Bible commentator says of this song in Luke's gospel, it's the gospel before the gospel. A fierce, bright shout of triumph 30 weeks before Bethlehem, 30 years before Calvary and Easter. It goes with a swing and a clap and a stamp. It's all about God, and it's all about revolution. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus, who's not only just been conceived, not yet born, but who has made Mary giddy with excitement and hope and triumph. Can I say that I hope we will be giddy with excitement and hope this Christmas? not because of the sherry or the Christmas cake, but because of Jesus. Because we understand and realize who this Jesus is. And we're excited because of our relationship with him today, but also forever. The fulfillment of Old Testament promise is Jesus. And this promise is not just for Mary or Israel, it's for all who believe and trust in Jesus, both as Lord and Savior. He came and died. He rose again from the grave that we inherit this kingdom. And so, folks, this passage is full of good news. Jesus is the giver of joy. Jesus is the giver of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament promise. What are you going to do with these pieces of good news today and this week? My hope is that we will place our trust and faith in Jesus, that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will know the lasting joy that comes from him. Amen.